Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, the mark of the beast. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, Lord. I pray that you would help me to teach your word accurately, to share what it is that you want to communicate. Give us open hearts and ears to hear it and receive it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing I'm going to say is, I don't want to be preaching these kinds of messages, but the world just keeps me forcing me to preach these kinds of messages. I feel like, though, that if I don't, I'm being irresponsible. I have a responsibility to take what's going on around us in our world and put it in light of Scripture so that we can understand it. I would much rather, and it's been that way, as you know now, for the last several weeks, I'd much rather come to church and preach about the good news of the gospel and about salvation through Jesus Christ and about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the promises of God and who we are in Christ and all of those kinds of things. But I feel like I would be being irresponsible if I didn't talk about some of the events that are going on around us. The mark of the beast is one of these topics that everybody's always asking about, you know, always interested in, curious things. If you want to sound fancy, you talk about, people are always asking about eschatological. They want to know about eschatology, which just simply means end time events, okay? So people are always interested. They want to know about it. Don't panic about the mark of the beast. What I hope is some hopeful news for you. I would say that probably a lot of us here, given the fact that many of us are seasoned citizens, we will not be around for the mark of the beast. And if you're a Christian and you're young, I believe you will not be here for the mark of the beast. And I'll explain that today. But nevertheless, you see what's going on, the things are taking place in the world, and you see how we are moving very much in that direction. I mean, as I've said before, I never understood how some of these things could happen, but now with the technology that we have, I can see how they can, in fact, take place. So, and I'm not teaching on these things like, these things are going to happen. The end time events recorded in God's word, they're going to happen. No matter what we do, no matter what elections are held, no matter who's elected, no matter how much you take up the cause and push back and fight, it's still going to happen, amen? Because God's word is going to come to pass. So I'm not telling you these things to try to tell you to, you know, there's something we can do to prevent it. God's word is going to come to pass. The revelation of Jesus to John in the book of Revelation. And by the way, it's always one of my pet peeves, it's revelation. It's not plural, it's just one big revelation. And it tells us at the very beginning, it's the revelation of Jesus to John. And so in that, it's not going to be prevented. It's going to come to pass. And we shouldn't try to stop it, but we should be aware. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. That's not my point. My point is to make you aware and to be thoughtful about these events as they unfold. If you are faced with certain situations, what will you do? Because when the time comes, and if we are around when things can still get even more crazy, it's going to be too late to decide what to do in the moment. You need to know ahead of time what you're going to do, okay? So I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to threaten anybody. I'm not telling us we should, you know, try to stop these things from happening. I'm just trying to say, here's what God's word says, how it applies to the events that we see going on in the world, and we should think about it, and we should be prepared and know what we're going to do. So it's been a couple weeks ago now, but I saw a thing coming out of, and I don't know what you want to call it, Great Britain, United Kingdom, whatever, out of Great Britain, a statement by their prime minister, a man named Keir Starmer, the textbook beta male, if there ever was one. I will try not to go off too much today, but I could go 100 different directions with these kind of topics. Anyways, he made a statement about digital ID. These are things that we've talked about. If you weren't around I don't know what it is. I can't keep track of time anymore. Year and a half, 2 years ago, whatever it's been, I did a bunch of teaching on artificial intelligence, end time events, the beast, and you know, the Antichrist, and all these kind of things. You'd have to go back and look them up. On they'll be on the website or on YouTube or different places on the app. But we talked a lot about digital ID and what was happening. Of course, some of it got started. They wanted to introduce more of it here in the United States during COVID and all that. But he was making a statement about digital ID and its use in the United Kingdom. And what he was saying was, he made the statement flat out, straight up, and if you don't believe me, I'm going to play it for you here in just a moment, that every person living in the United Kingdom will have to have, oh, and he said, oh, here's the good news, it'll be free of charge. Free of charge, every person will have to have an app with digital, you'll have to have a digital ID if you are going to work. If you do not have digital ID, you will not work in the United Kingdom. Go ahead and play this real quick.
I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID. It's as simple as that. Because decent, pragmatic, fair-minded people, they want us to tackle the issues that they see around them. And of course, the truth is, we won't solve our problems if we don't also take on the root causes. For too many years, it's been too easy for people to come here, slip into the shadow economy, and remain here illegally. Because, frankly, we've been squeamish about saying things that are clearly true. It's not just that it's not compassionate left-wing politics to rely on labour that exploits foreign workers and undercuts fair wages, but the simple fact that every nation needs to have control over its borders.
Okay, so that last part, I could have just left it at the part where he said, you have to have digital ID or you will not work. I played the other part there about people coming into the country and working. Does anybody know why I put that on? Well, he's trying to make it sound appealing, but what point do you think I'm going to make from it? You created it! You did it. You're the one. You and your party and your people are the ones who have let millions of people flood into your country and work. You create the, this is what politicians do. They create the problem so that they can come in and exercise control to so-called fix the problem. And all they're really doing is taking more control. He, as much as anybody, created intentionally the problem that he's now claiming to fix. This is what they do. This is how they do it. However, as I said, he said, as it's there, as clear as can be, if you do not have digital ID, you will not work. This is Great Britain. This is the nation that we come out of. This is the nation that we are most politically aligned with. This is our number one ally in the world doing this. Okay? So I did a little research. As far as I can tell, the numbers I'm seeing is there are currently anywhere from 80 to 90 countries in the world that require, they have some form of, digital ID for their population. And many of them require that you have it in order to interact in the marketplace and with government at some level. So 80 to 90 countries in the world are already practicing some form, some level of digital identification. And some requiring it to do, again, work and do other things. Some of the ones that are, this is a partial list of countries that require you to have a digital ID in order to operate within their nation, within their economy, and interact with their government. Austria, Belgium, China, Costa Rica, Denmark, India, Netherlands, Nigeria, Singapore, South Korea, Spain, Sweden. Very prominent countries, they all have and require you to have digital ID if you're going to have interaction and operate within their economies and in their countries. This is not, they are, more and more I see this, the globalists, the world powers, places like the World Economic Forum and others, they are pushing the digital ID harder than ever. We thought we were starting to beat some of this absolute, kind of crazy tyrannical control. I think that this is my speculation on it, that they realize that the world is pushing back against all of this stuff, and this is their last chance. They go hard for it now, or they're going to be completely defeated and thrown out of power. So they look like they're going hard. They are pushing for it big time. They want the control that it gives. It is a digital prison. A digital prison. And with that, you've heard me mention before, how many of you know what CBDC is? CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. Okay? Central Bank Digital Currency goes hand in hand with digital ID. You'll no longer have this. Okay? You will have your phone or a chip. You cannot buy or sell without it. Digital ID, Central Bank Digital Currency is electronic computerized money. That's what they want us to operate on, period. Do you know why they want us to operate on it? Because they can control it. They can turn it off. They can turn it on. You get some money. You'll never have to do taxes again. Won't that be great? Because they will have already taken it. They will put it where it belongs. They'll put what you get in your bank account. And here's the thing. They will tell you what you can spend it on. Oh, you've already had your pound of beef for the week. You can't use your digital currency to buy any more beef because you've already had your allotment. Because they know. What do you think those computers are when you run your hamburger across the scanner? What do you think it's doing? It's telling them that Randy Bevington just bought 1 pound of hamburger. And it's not going to allow me to buy any more for the week because that's my allotment. I can't drink. You've had your 15 gallons of gas for the week. You've already taken your trip this year. You can't go out of state again. On and on. And they also want to put on it a time. You have to spend your money within a certain amount of time or else it just goes away. How do you like that? How do you build wealth? How do you build a future? How do you pass anything along to your kids and your grandkids? Why do they want you to spend your money all the time? Because they need it to stimulate the economy. We have such bad inflation. They need the volume of business. They need money to constantly being turned over in order to keep the economy going. But here's the thing: you don't get to accumulate wealth, but you know who does? Those corporations and CEOs, all the big names, the World Economic Forum, all these people, all that money that you're forced to spend goes into their bank accounts. Because they're the ones providing the products that you buy. You get it? So they can have wealth, but you can't. What are you going to have? You need to know whenever you vote, and you need to vote, you need to know where they stand, who you're voting for, on digital ID and central bank digital currency. More than any other possible policy, you need to know where they stand on that. Because if they pass that, you are in a digital prison, period. I don't know if you know this, you already don't go anywhere or do anything without them knowing it. Every one of you, promise you, every one of you is in a facial recognition database. And they can pick you up and they can locate you anytime they want. I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. And I'm going to get to the book. We're going to get to the Bible. Don't worry. So I want to talk very quickly about, in addition to this, and just to help you understand what's going on. And they're going to try to sell you this on convenience and public safety and, all that kind of stuff. But does anybody know the name Larry Ellison? Larry Ellison is the founder of a company named Oracle. Anybody recognize that name, Oracle? It's basically a big computer software tech kind of company. Oracle is a multinational technology company. They provide wide range of products and services, including database software, cloud computing solutions, and enterprise application for businesses, which means they tell you how to get people's money. So Larry Ellison is one of the people that's really pushing for digital ID and digital control and facial recognition and all these kinds of things. Because again, and I didn't clip this, but I've heard him talk about where they want every bit of all that information that you produce online. When you go online on social media, you make a purchase online, all your habits, all of your behavior, they want the government to mandate that they can get every speck, every bit of that information and get it into their AI model. So they know everything. They know you better than you know yourself. So Larry Ellison, he's a great guy. You know, I mean, there are some people that like him. Trump likes him, but I got some issues with him. Listen to what he has to say, what he wants to do.
Our body cameras are simply lenses, two lenses attached to your vest, attached to the smartphone that you're wearing. By the way, the camera's always on. You don't turn it on and off. And by the way, the way you turn it on, you can't turn it off. I'm going to the bathroom. Oracle, I need 2 minutes to take a bathroom break, and we'll turn it off. The truth is, we don't really turn it off. What we do is we record it so no one can see it, but no one can get into that recording without a court order. So you get the privacy you requested, but a court order, if you get a court order, we will, you know, judge, you know, can order, I want to look at that, this so-called bathroom break. If there's something comes up, and plus, I'm going to lunch with my friends. Oracle, I need an hour for privacy with lunch with my friends. God bless. We won't listen in unless there's a court order. But it's interesting. But we transmit the video back to headquarters. So headquarters and AI is constantly monitoring the video. The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. Our body.
No. How many of you believe that no one will see that video? If you do, I have a bridge for sale. Oh, you're going to be on your best behavior because they're watching everything you do. Now, I want to add a little bit too. He said, it never really gets turned off, right? So they'll only see if there's a court order. I don't believe that at all. Here's the thing, you'll be on your best behavior. Let me tell you, I assume that because you're in church this morning, you're all in favor of good behavior, amen? That's not the problem. The problem is who decides what's acceptable behavior and what's not. That's the problem. And I guarantee you that my government defines my proper behavior differently than I do. And I promise you, Larry Ellison defines good behavior differently than I do. That's the problem. And that's what we're going to see. It's like, again, control. You've already had your 1 ounce of steak this week. You've already had your 15 gallons of gas this week. You can't buy any ammunition. No, you certainly can't buy a gun. All of these kinds of things. And now, Larry Ellison, in addition to owning Oracle, he also owns Paramount and CBS. They own Warner Brothers Discovery, which includes CNN. They're in the process of attempting to buy TikTok and also the Free Press. He not only this, they will control so much of the information that you get. If they're controlling the news and publications, then they'll be telling us, you know, it's 1984. They'll be telling us what the truth is, what we need to know, and how they want us to think about it and everything else. It's complete control. Here's the problem I really have with so much of this. What is America? The American Constitution is, we have certain inalienable rights from God, amen? And government, beyond that, these are our rights. Beyond that, we'll let you know what you need to do for us. That's exactly what our Constitution says in just a minimal amount of words. We'll let you know, government, what you need to do for us. If we don't tell you we need you to do it, then leave us alone. That is our Constitution in three words is, leave us alone. We are sovereign individuals with freedom that is given by God, period. I would love to, well, I wouldn't love it, but if I ran for office, if I ever ran for office, this would be my campaign. 95% of the questions I'd be asked to comment on, I'd have the same answer. I have no comment. That's not a constitutionally mandated role of the government. And I just keep saying it over and over and over and over. Because 95% of what our government does is not constitutionally mandated. Therefore, there's no reason for me to comment on it. I'm telling you, if you ever did that as a candidate, you'd be very popular. So, let's talk about one more thing before we get into Revelation here. How many of you have your driver's license that you can pick? You can reach in your pocket and get it right now. Take it out. If you can. You got 10 seconds. Look at it. And tell me if there's a little star on it. Do you know what that star is? Some of you I know do. I know my wife knows. What is it? Real ID. They tell you that you got to have it in order to travel, which isn't completely true. You can use a passport. You could use a passport and not use ID. How many of you have traveled with your real ID? You've traveled with it. You go up to a plane, and what do they have you do? Step in front of a camera and take your picture. Did you know you can tell them I do not wish to have my picture taken? It doesn't matter, okay? But it's just your little way of telling them stick it. But trust me, it doesn't matter. Real ID. The biggest issue with real ID is the purpose of it is facial recognition. Again. And they got everybody, believe me. Here's the added thing about, there was a Real ID Act of 2025 just passed this year. It allows the Department of Homeland Security to add things to the, for what digital ID is, or Real ID is used for or associated with, such as they could make it so where we want to tie your medications to your Real ID. So we know whatever medications you're on. We want to tie ammunition purchases to Real ID. We want to tie whatever. They can add whatever they want, tie it to record keeping with your digital ID, with your Real ID, without any approval of Congress. That's what the Digital Act, Real ID Act of 2025 says. It opens up a much greater risk of you being hacked and having your information stolen because Real ID is not encrypted. How insane is that in the world that we live in? The number of people who have had their information compromised already is 30 million plus. You might have had yours and you don't even know it. How long is it going to be before they say, you know, it's more convenient rather than having that card in your pocket? Let's just put it on your body or in your body. The FBI is already collecting fingerprints of innocent citizens. They've never done anything wrong, but they're using that along with Real ID to collect fingerprints. Remember my three-word summation of the Constitution, leave me alone? This doesn't sound very much like you're being left alone, does it? The data is being sold. It's even legal to sell it to foreign countries. The information of your Real ID and anything that they want to associate with it. I don't want foreign countries and foreign companies having all this information. This is not what it's being for. It's not being honored. The Supreme Court has already ruled that we have the right to anonymity. That's obviously not being honored. Government, our government can share between departments our information, including biometric information about us. Here's a big one. I'm going to show you why. When I say, oh, it's already up there. When I say, how many of you trust that they will not look at the information? Do you trust your government? This is a commercial driver's license issued by the state of California. It was New York, I'm sorry. California's doing it too. But this is New York. This was taken in Oklahoma, has started cracking down and checking CDLs, people driving semis and trucks. Oklahoma doesn't want that, what we've had with the illegals driving trucks and killing people, and they can't read the road signs and they can't speak English. So they've started cracking down on it. This was one in Oklahoma. This CDL was taken, issued in New York. Do you see where it says no name given? They issued a commercial driver's license without a first name. On top of it, what's up in the corner of it? A star. It's a stinking real ID with no name. Are you insane that you would trust these people to have a camera on you all the time? Oh, we promise we won't look when you go to the bathroom. Again, I'm just trying to tell you what's out there and what's going on, okay? You need to be aware. So let's go to Revelation 6. And again, if you get on social media, especially like on X, I mean, you see the reports and the people talking in all these countries all around. They are in the world globalists. They are pushing for this bad. They want this bad. Now, let me just pause and say this. We are like one of the few countries. There's 193 countries in the world, all right? 90 of them already have some form, at least not have some digital ID. Right now, the people that we have in office do not want digital ID. It seems they don't want central bank digital currency, although we have way too many squishy people on that. You need to keep these people or people like this in office. If we do, America does not have to worry about the mark of the beast, okay? If we keep people in office who will not allow us to enforce us to go to digital ID and central bank digital currency and all that. Because without that kind of control, you can't have the mark of the beast, all right? So again, I don't know. It's very possible, and Judy and I have discussed this, and she's taught on it before. It's very possible that a lot of the end time events we see in the Bible will not be taking place within the United States. It's going to depend a lot on who we put in office. Revelation 6, verse 12 through 17. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth. As late figs drop from the fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Why am I starting with this passage? Because I believe that this is the rapture of the church. Now, there are plenty of people that will not agree with me. I won't say 100% conclusively, but I strongly believe that what we're reading here at the opening of the sixth seal is the rapture of the church is going to take place. Why do I say that? What is my biblical evidence for saying that? And where did I read about the mark of the beast for the first time? Revelation 13, okay? This is Revelation 6. So if there's any chronology to this revelation, then the church, if it's raptured after the sixth seal, will not be here. Okay? Got that? So why do I believe this? Verse 17 says, the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? For 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the church, God does not intend his church to do what? Suffer wrath. But when the sixth seal is opened, what comes out after the sixth seal? Wrath, the wrath of God. So if we're not going to suffer wrath, we're not going to be here for the wrath of God. But there's more. In Revelation 6:12, the first passage, first verse, it says he opened the sixth seal. Then there was what? A great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. So in Matthew 24, verse 3, Jesus is asked this by his disciples. They say, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him and privately, tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they specifically ask, he talks about the destruction of the temple. That's when they're talking about, when will this happen? The destruction of the temple that Jesus tells them is going to take place. But they ask him, when is that going to happen and when is your coming? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Let's jump down to verse 29. Here's the answer he gives them. This is how you're going to know the sign of my coming and the end of the age. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun was darkened and the moon will not give light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. What does that sound like? What does it sound like? Sounds like Revelation 6:12, right after the opening of the sixth seal. So if I believe that the opening of the sixth seal is prompting Jesus' return, it lines up with Matthew 24 when they ask him, when are you going to come back and how are we going to know? What's the end of the age? And he gives them the same answer that we read in Revelation 6:12. But the good part of that is he goes on, he says, at that time the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations on earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with great power, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather the elect from the four winds, from the end of the heavens to another. One hand. So that we would interpret as the rapture of the church. Now, I've heard some people arguing recently that the word rapture never occurred in Christian discussion, Christian theology, Christian doctrine, until the 1950s. The idea that the church is going to be raptured is like a very new modern thing. Okay, the word rapture, yes, that's probably true. But the concept has always been biblical, okay? Whether we use that word, so if you hear somebody say that, okay, maybe so, the rapture, but that's just a word. The concept is scriptural, has always been scriptural, and obviously if it's God's word, it will be. So why am I telling you, are you with me so far? Are you still tracking with me? So why am I telling you all this? I believe all this information I open with should be understood and lead us it's going to lead up to the mark of the beast. I don't think that the digital ID and all that is the mark of the beast, but it's certainly putting it all in place, okay? It's certainly the technology there. The concept is there. How much, they use the term for when somebody adopts new technology, they say they're early adopters. They're looking to set up, they want to set up a scenario that we will adopt, easily adopt the next step. It's incremental. It's never jump. We didn't jump from paper money, or you know, trading bark, or you know, trading chickens or whatever to the mark of the beast. It's all incremental. Amen. They got to get you used to one step to get you to adopt the next step. Well, if you have digital ID and CBDC, we are right there, ready, getting people to. If they adopt that, then we can easily adopt the next step. Because the next step is simply was like, well, all we want to do is rather than you carrying a card around or having to have your phone and have the battery charged on, we'll just put a chip in you or whatever. Okay, like I said, I'm not putting a chip in my body so that you can steal my bank account by chopping my arm, my hand off, right? Well, I'm not going to put my body for other reasons, but I want us to be able to recognize what's taking place, folks. I don't know whether we are living in the end times or not, but what I clearly see is the ability for us to move into this phase exists. Okay? And we should be ready to recognize that. I do not believe that Christians will have to take the mark of the beast. Because if I'm correct about the rapture, and you have to decide that for yourself, the Christians are going to be gone, right? Now, there's some other things, though, that we should look at. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't recognize the events of end time prophecy. Also, like I said, as an American, if we keep the right people in office, we will not adopt this. We do not have to. And I think you can make a lot of arguments that America is not. In all the end time prophecies that you see in the book of Daniel and Revelation and Ezekiel and all this, Jeremiah, the United States is not in there. Okay? So, let's go to, maybe I need to, I want to read the opening passage again. Revelation 13, 16, 17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on his right hand and on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. So most of us imagining people that are going to be forced to take the mark of the beast, some really mean, scary people are going to show up, and they're going to point a gun at you, and they're going to tell you, take the mark of the beast or else. Right? Am I the only one that's always kind of imagined it that way? Or is that how most of you imagine it? I think, yeah, that's how most people imagine it, right? What if it simply is a system that makes it so you cannot live without, nobody's going to have to force you to do it. Nobody's going to show up with a gunpoint, force you to do it. They're just going to make it so you can't, work? You can't live. You can't buy or sell. You can't, I don't know. What I'm saying is I don't know that somebody's big and scary and mean with a gun is going to have to show up and force people to take the mark of the beast. They're just going to make it impossible for you to live without it. And folks, for some of you, maybe the idea of not living, you know, not having your phone and having that phone all the time might not be a big deal. But trust me, the generation two generations behind us, if you gave them the option of their phone or oxygen, they might give up oxygen to keep the phone. That's how it's like oxygen and water to them. They have physical reactions to their phone being taken away from them. They can't operate. So you think they're going to give it up? Like I said, our generation probably, a lot of us are not going to have to deal with this. I got to go faster. Revelation 14, 9 through 13. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Now, I'm going to pause here for just a moment. As my wife was pointing out to me, in this passage we see it's not just simply taking the mark. It's that you worship. What does it say? That you worship the beast. So it's not simply being able to conduct business digitally. It's, are people going to then worship the beast? Now, here's where my, I guess, semantics or theology might come into play. I don't know that worshiping the beast means you got to bow down and do this. It might be the fact that you surrender and go, yeah, I got to have digital ID. You're telling me that's not basically worshiping the beast? If you give in and do what he says, do what they say you have to do, or else you're gonna be cut off. I mean, it's a fine line. I'm not sure I want to test it. But it does say, worship the beast. Where did I read? Did I just read 9 or did I read 10? Okay, so let's go on. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, and or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandment and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a loud voice say from heaven, say, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So again, we're seeing a chronology here. It says those who die from now on are blessed. Now, if the rapture of the church takes place after the opening of the sixth seal, then Christians, the church is not here in Revelation 14, right? I'm gonna give this to my wife just in case when she gets ready to say something. Sure.
In Revelation 13, if you read the whole thing through, there's two beasts. There's the first beast, who I believe is the Antichrist. He is the one who at some point he's going to be mortally wounded and brought back to life. And everybody's going to, you know,
be amazed.
You've heard of that before, right? So we do recognize he's the Antichrist. So he's a copycat. So it's like, okay, let's do that. And so then it talks about, and one of the verses I just want to point out to you is Revelation 13:8. And this is after it's talking about this beast, the Antichrist. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Well, you know what? My name's written in that book. And hopefully your name is written in that book too. So this says, even if we were here, maybe the reason this verse says that is because the people whose names are in the book aren't around. So, we won't worship the beast. And I honestly feel, you know, our God is able to keep us. And he's able to, you know, and if I have to face death because of my belief in Christ,
so be it.
I hope I don't, right. But if I do, I will. And he will give us the strength. I used to worry about my kids. I used to think, Lord, what if this were to happen and my children were little? They can keep, the Lord will keep them too. You know, he is going to keep us with him. We are his. We are his children. We do not have to fear. And then as it goes on, it talks about, in verse 11, it talks about another beast coming out of the earth. And he has two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he kind of goes on in the way that it's described, almost, I feel like, is almost like a spiritual thing, like this is Satan entering into the Antichrist. And as it goes on, and then it talks about the passage that you read, about the receiving of the mark and no one would buy and sell. You know, it goes on. But this is all, I also believe we're going to go after the sixth seal, is the rapture of the church. And but it's so important for us to recognize, you know, in the book of Daniel, we're told, God tells Daniel, close it up. It's not the time. You're not going to know all these things until the end. So we can speculate, is it the end? Is it the end? We don't know. But once these things start to happen, I think there will be a period of time, like through the first five seals, and then, you know, when you read that in Revelation, because I think we will be around then. What a great opportunity to witness and to share and to tell about Jesus, knowing that, okay, here's seal number two, here's seal number three, and to be able to if we know that, then that's going to be a great time of evangelism and a time where people can come to know the Lord. So, but if we don't know about it, you know, so I think it's, okay. Anyway, there, sorry.
Just sort of hang on to it. Let me summarize what my wife was saying. She thinks I'm scary. She's trying to help you not be scared by what I'm saying. Kind of, yes, okay. So there you go. And she's right about that, but here's my understanding. It's where we're going now, is that what I just read, those people that are not going to die, okay, that we read there in Revelation 13:8, there are people that are going to get saved. They're going to come to faith in Jesus after the rapture of the church. I mean, it tells, if this, again, if we're following this, and I think we can, reasonably chronological, we're in Revelation 14. It's telling us there are people that are going to be following Jesus, okay? There are people, think about it. If the rapture of the church takes place back there in the opening of the sixth seal, there are going to be people who are sincerely trying to follow God, but they are not born again through Jesus, they're going to go, oh, right? Especially people like Jews. They go, oh, I guess he was the Messiah. They are not going to want to follow the beast. I believe there are sincere Muslims who will really want to follow God as they understand him, who want good, and they want all the things that God would tell us to do, to love our neighbors and all those things and have peace. They're going to go, and they're going to realize, oh, this God of the Christians is real. Hindus, Buddhists, there might be people from all these who the light goes on after the rapture of the church who go, okay, I'm not compromising. I realize the Christian message is true. I'm going to follow that. I'm not taking the mark of the beast. I'm not bowing down. And if it costs me my life, so be it. So there are going to be people. I mean, am I? Verse 12, Revelation 14, 12. This calls for patience, endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Well, if the rapture of the church has already happened, then who can these people be? Right? So there got to have to be people who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ after the rapture of the church. I got to go faster. I'll get there. Revelation 19, 19 through 21. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make a war against the rider of the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophets who had performed the miraculous sign on his behalf, like Judy was talking about with the wound and all. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider of the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. So the beast and the false prophets and all those that they deceived and all those who received the mark of the beast will be, what will happen to them? They'll be thrown into the lake burning with sulfur. That's what it says, right? Maybe I won't read this. I'm going to read it because I'm almost done. So they're either going to be thrown in the lake or else birds are going to what? Gorge on their flesh. Isn't this good stuff? Revelation, so that's what's going to happen, all right? And then, so we're moving on, Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys of the abyss. Where were they all thrown? They were thrown into the abyss, which is this lake of fire. Coming down with the keys to the abyss. I'm a little ahead of myself. Keys to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss. So he has the keys to the abyss. He binds Satan. He throws him into the abyss and locks it. And locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore for the 1,000 years till 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So anybody know what we're talking about now? 1,000 years. This is called the millennial reign, when there will be no influence by Satan on earth. Jesus will return and some of his saints will rule with him on earth for 1,000 years while Satan is locked up in the abyss, all right? So this would be like the rapture of the church, all the stuff with the beast coming to power and forcing people to take the mark of the beast, Jesus coming along and defeating him and throwing them into the lake of burning with fire and locking up Satan in the abyss, and now we're at the millennial reign. That's going to happen for 1,000 years. It says, and then he's going to be what? He's going to be set free. Verse 3 says he's going to be set free for a short time. So are you tracking with me in this? Verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast of his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So this is the millennial reign. But we're told, if you go in the rapture, I don't know, maybe this is going to disappoint you, but if you go in the rapture, you are not going to come back and rule with Jesus for 1,000 years during the millennial reign, because you did not die the way it says that who's the people that are going to reign with him. It tells us who's going to reign with him. Who's going to reign with him? I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. Well, if you went in the rapture, then you weren't beheaded for your testimony, right? So these people are most likely the people who are saved after the rapture. Are you in agreement with me?
I don't know, but I'm good with that.
Yeah, again, both of us say, I can't prove this, but this is the way it appears in reading Scripture. You're okay with being missing out the beheading part? Okay. But if I read this properly, those are the people who are going to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead will not come back to life. Those are the people until 1,000 years is ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So those are the people that are going to reign with Jesus, the people who have said, even after the Antichrist has risen and he's forcing people to take the mark of the beast and all this, they still won't bow. Those are the people that are going to reign with him. Let's go on one last verse here. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard the loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. The world as we know it will no longer be at that point and will never, ever be ever again. Those that have followed Jesus will live with him as God intended when he created them in the Garden of Eden. Only now we call it heaven. So, maybe this message was completely unnecessary. But when I hear a statement like Keir Starmer made, I can't help but react. It fires me up. Now, either that's the devil using me, or it's God, you know, God's gift. He inspires me to be, you know, righteously indignant. I don't know. But I just think that I don't think we should worry. You should not be worried. You should not be scared. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not even saying I think you should say, no, I won't participate. We don't want that, especially as America. We're not going to do that. We want to elect politicians that we're never going to do that. But it's not going to stop it from happening.
I'm just
going to
say, you shouldn't be worried and you shouldn't be scared, but you better make sure your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes. Yes, and you should be able to recognize. We are told that we are to recognize the signs of the season, just the way anybody would recognize this. You know, one of these days it's going to turn fall. If it stays warm like this, we may not get very many colors. It'll just be leaves, no leaves. But we recognize the signs of the season, and we're supposed to be able to do that. And that's all I'm saying is we shouldn't be caught off guard. We shouldn't be worried. We should just recognize what's going on, and we should know already in advance, like, I'm standing with God. I'm standing with Jesus. I'm not going to be shaken by this. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be scared by it. But I'm certainly not going to endorse it, and I'm going to do everything in my nation to see that we don't put politicians in place that sound like Keir Starmer, who start implementing digital ID and central bank digital currency and all that kind of stuff, okay? You're an American. Your motto is what? Leave me alone.